All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams Lee.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display. Is that what you need? Don't waste all the good stuff on the off-air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HockeySeason, capital H, capital S, all one word, HockeySeason. That will get you $5 off your order at Zephyr Epic. Zephyr Epic also ships free anywhere in Canada on any order over $50 from...
Oh, I was not prepared. I had one ready here. Okay. All the way from Kamloops to Kelwood.
Kamloops to Kelwood, Zephyr Epic ships free.
Damn it.
No, you did great. Should we leave that in?
Yeah,
would you like to redo it?
No, I don't care.
Okay, great. Zephyr Epic ships free anywhere in Canada on any order over $50. So go check them out. They have got you covered for all your Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh!, NHL cards, NBA cards, NFL cards, you name it. Zephyr Epic's got it. Go check them out, folks. Zephyr Epic on all platforms. They also have a retail location. You can use promo code HockeySeason at the retail location in Surrey in person.
Kelwood.
If you would like to.
Kelwood is in Manitoba.
So excellent.
So little Manitoba doesn't get enough shout outs.
No, it doesn't.
Ever. And in life in general, not just on this show.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's Manitoba.
I've got family in Manitoba. I'm sure they would.
A lot of my family comes from Manitoba. A lot of my family's from Manitoba and Saskatchewan.
Interesting. Little history lesson there.
There you go.
Into the Faber lineage. We are also
cousin
delivered.
Brock, his parents, they're from the Manitoba area, maybe. I don't know.
Did you just make that up? They're American.
Yeah, well, there's some Canadian roots there. Probably.
Maybe. I don't think Faber's a Manitobian last name.
Well, I know there's some Fabers in Manitoba, so maybe they're somehow with the Minnesota Fabers. It's a similar kind of area.
Do you think maybe they have European ancestry?
Maybe.
And came over?
Potentially.
Didn't you say Faber's a Dutch last name?
Yep.
So there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So Cousin Brock off to the Olympics. Good for him.
Yeah, Cousin Brock off to the Olympics. We're also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code ConvoDD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, ConvoDD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place for part two. If you didn't listen already, we did part one yesterday, kind of previewing the game a bit, talking about what we thought would happen in the game, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. It was good stuff. We talked about the Rachel Dory hire, touched on a few different topics, played a great clip of Rick Dhaliwal butchering my last name. So if you haven't listened to that yet, it's worth it. Even if you don't want to listen to the whole episode because the game's already happened, just download that episode. We like it when you hit download on our episodes. And go to the 30-minute mark of that podcast. It is fantastic. 30-minute mark of that podcast, that's where the Rick Dhaliwal clip is. It's fantastic. Calling me Squadrelli. I think we need a Squadrelli button on the board. We've got a free space.
Yeah, we do have an open space on
the
board.
Throw a Squadrelli button on there.
We could do that for sure. I got no boring drive-thru story like I did on the show yesterday, so don't worry about that. I haven't hit a drive-thru since a couple days ago. So,
well, I told you as soon as we walked in, I even said, like, I said to you right before we recorded, I'm like, well, you can talk too today, but I'm going to have a lot of talking. So I think it's time to hit that intro because this whole episode, folks, it's my time to shine. It's a goalie episode.
Oh, yeah, he shouldn't have done that public knowledge. That's a big no-no. I don't know. You know, I can't really give the time and date or else I feel like Nona's shoe will be flying across North America right and hit me in the head.
I think we spent half an hour talking about a backup goaltender.
All right, get out of here, Woodley. All right.
Faber's going to be very pissed. So, you know, I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders. That's right, folks. It's time for goalie talk, as the Sportsnet voice guy would say if we had this hit this intro on the Sportsnet show, which we'll be on tomorrow. We're doing our show on Sunday. Pretty excited. Going to be a lot of fun. Regardless, Spencer Martin making a great start. First NHL start in over 5 years or in 5 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Regardless, Spencer Martin gets his start. He was fantastic.
Wasn't exactly 5 years? Was that since the first start he ever had?
No, I don't think it was exactly 5 years. I'm not sure. I didn't see anything like that.
I thought I heard some on the broadcast about that, but I guess you wouldn't have known. You're too busy taking a piss and listening to Nearly Neil while you're at the game yesterday.
Okay, I need to address this. I wanted to talk goalies, but I guess I'll talk Nearly Neil. So I've kind of emerged as the Nearly Neil beat reporter. I've been the... I would say...
Yeah, it was a huge competition for who was going to be the Nearly Neil friggin' insider here.
You know, I think Satyar Shah, friend of the show and our colleague at Sportsnet, I think Satyar Shah is the only... And Dan Riccio as well, another colleague at Sportsnet. Maybe Sportsnet just scoops up all the guys that like Nearly Neil, because those are the only other two guys that I know of in the media that appreciate Nearly Neil the way I do.
Yeah, you know I'm an abracadabra guy. I'm not a big Nearly Neil fan.
BCDC, the AC/DC cover band from Nelson, BC.
I don't hate that one either. But I'll tell you, first of all, okay, I don't know if this is like a weird... Do people like Nearly Neil because he sucks? Because he sucks.
Nearly Neil does not suck.
Oh my gosh, no. He can't even do Sweet Caroline.
He crushed Sweet Caroline last night.
No, he did not.
You were not at the game. You weren't at the game.
I saw a video
of it. They didn't play it on the broadcast.
I saw people tweeting videos of it.
Although they should. Yeah, no, he crushed Sweet Caroline last night.
I don't think he knows the cadence to Sweet Caroline.
He crushed Sweet Caroline.
I also hate Sweet Caroline as the song in general.
No, I hated it before too. But as not friend of the show, just friend of mine, Steven Van Vu, who I know I'm probably butchering his last name, controls all the in-game entertainment at Canucks games. He was, I can't give my source for who tells me that Nearly Neil's performing, but he did tell me that, you know, Sweet Caroline's played at 73% of all sporting events in the world, including cricket. So it's not just a Boston song, which is for some reason what everybody says.
I think that's why I don't like this song. It's way too overused.
Oh, whatever.
I just don't like, I don't know. It's something about that song. Then you go to karaoke. I guess, I don't know. Can just karaoke open yet? Probably not. But back in the day, there'd always be the one person that goes up and does Sweet Caroline on karaoke. And it's just like, here we go again.
Okay, so you have preconceived prejudice, and that's why you don't like Nearly Neil. So you could just say that.
Well, and Nearly Neil does a horrible job,
no,
too.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, Nearly Neil crushes it. I'm not even doing a bit right now. Nearly Neil performed really well last night.
Oh, my goodness.
He did. He crushed it.
Not the videos I saw.
No, he was good. He was hitting all the high notes.
Were you hearing all those high notes? Were you taking a freaking piss in the media room?
No, listen. I had to pee, and as I was walking into the bathroom, Steven saw me and said, hey, Nearly Neil's coming, because I got roasted by Farhan Lalji. Farhan's like, what the hell, Quads? You said Nearly Neil was performing. I said, he is. Just give it some time. Give it some time. In the first intermission, this was. And I went to the bathroom, and I said to Steven, I'm like, hey, Nearly Neil's coming, right? He's like, yeah, he's about to start. You're going to miss it. I was like, I got to pee. So I went pee, but you can still hear it from the press box bathroom. You know, you know how it is. You
probably
can still
sounds
hear
better
everything.
In there, yeah.
No, whatever. Anyways, so I didn't miss him singing Sweet Caroline. I came out, and then it was in the third period that he performed Sweet Caroline. So I did not miss that. I was there watching that. I was dancing in the press box. Kevin Woodley did not like it. I was sitting next to him, and Patrick Johnson was on my other side. I don't think either of them appreciated it. And I'll tell you what. I went out last night after the game. Man. Our media colleagues don't like being reminded how young we are.
Yeah.
Because I told them, I was like, I'm going out. And they're like, what? It's like 11:30. I was like, yeah, I'm going out.
Jeez, yeah. That's too much for me even, too. All right.
Oh, boy.
Can we get off? You hit the goal. This is what happens every time you hit the goalie intro.
Hey, you know what?
I somehow like completely turn right and when we don't talk goalies. So do your little talk Spencer Martin.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, Spencer Martin looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
Solid. He looked solid.
Yeah, he did. And you know what, folks? I don't want to toot my own horn. I know I was critical of the Canucks' decision to have Spencer Martin down in Utica. Haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
Down in Abbotsford and, you know, presumably taking starts away from Mike DiPietro and Artur Sylovs. That hasn't been the case since we've had that discussion. He had that little run, which kind of put the alarm bells on, so I said something about it. But in total, DiPietro's played 13 games, Sylovs has played 9, Martin's played 7. In my opinion, Chris, that's exactly what you want. Because listen, Martin has found success working with Curtis Sanford and Ian Clark. And remember, folks, I've talked about this a lot, about how every goaltender I've talked to in the Canucks organization says Curtis Sanford is just an extension of Ian Clark. And they say the same things, they preach the same things, and it's easy to work between the two. So Curtis Sanford doing a lot of really good work with Spencer Martin in Abbotsford. And it's not as simple as, and I'm actually going to have a story on this hopefully soon on Canucks Army, because I'm going to chat with Curtis Sanford just about kind of how you work with a veteran goaltender. I also asked Spencer Martin about it last night. I've got a little clip that we will pull up. But I was looking at kind of how it all works and what you need to do when you have a goaltender who's, you know, 26, so he's not young, he's not a veteran. Goaltender who's 26 coming in isn't going to want to change his game usually, right? So you have to kind of keep that in mind when you try to introduce the three-stance system, when you try to introduce the post-integration, when you try to introduce the way that Ian Clark and Curtis Sanford like their goaltenders to move. Again, the big one being when the puck is at the top of the crease, or top of the zone, rather. You can really see Spencer Martin buying into that shuffle. I call it the Ian Clark shuffle. I know other goaltenders do it too, but goaltenders who come, and Chris, I've shown this to you before. We watched Braden Holtby try to learn it. Goaltenders come into the Canucks system are expected to learn this three-stance system, and they're expected to learn this shuffling when the puck is being cycled up high. And Spencer Martin at training camp wasn't doing it super well, had just been introduced to it. So, you know, I don't want to say that fueled any criticisms I had of him, but I didn't like the way he moved. Spencer Martin doesn't look like a completely new goaltender. he looks like a very refined goaltender. He looks like a goaltender who's bought into what Ian Clark and Curtis Sanford are selling. And folks, that has a pretty good track record. That has a pretty good track record of meaning a goaltender is going to find success that he has not found before. And I believe, again, I know it was only one game and everybody's riding high. I believe it's safe to say that that was the case for Spencer Martin last night. Spencer Martin has never had a game that good in his NHL career. League-leading Florida Panthers, only lets in one goal in regulation, and then obviously the shootout coin flip could have gone either way.
Yeah, with Martin, the interesting thing that I found was like still seeing the things that like Demko does so well and the things that Mikey actually does pretty well too is like getting really tight to the post really fast. It looked like that was like a sloppier part of Martin's game of just like it looked like there was a lot of open space when he was getting to the post. But I think the thing that I did notice that you're right, you see with a lot of Ian Clark goalies is, yeah, it's just like those little choppy footsteps that they take when the puck's moving around like from left to right. And you could see that in Martin's game. Definitely. Like you could see it in practice when we watched the morning skate that day, that was something different. And that's something that I can see them working on that out in Abbotsford. So you mentioned like you're going to talk to Curtis Sanford. It is something that's being worked on in Abbotsford a lot. And even like in the morning, the Friday morning skate that you and I were both at, you could just see Mikey like down in the corner working by himself. Just literally, that's like all, I don't know what it is, but the goaltenders in the Vancouver Canucks organization, when they're not like working with anybody shooting on them, they're literally just standing at the other net, just like doing those quick little shuffles. Every single goaltender in the Canucks organization does this at practice when they're not having like shots taken at them.
Because it's a really efficient way to move, and it's a really good way to still be seeing the traffic, seeing through the traffic.
You know what it is to me? It's like when you're at work and you're trying to look like you're doing something and working hard, that's like what Vancouver Canucks goaltenders do. It's like, I could just stand here and drink water. Or you know what? I'll do that quick little shuffle thing. What do you call it? The Ian Clark shuffle?
I call it the Ian Clark shuffle. I'm sure they don't call it that.
It's what it's like looking busy at work, pretty much.
No, it's actually pretty exhausting to do that. Because think about it. You're activating your hips, right? Because if you're on skates, you're activating your hips. You have to open up your feet and close them real quick, right? Okay. And you're shuffling like that. It's not easy. And, you know, Thatcher Demko makes it look really easy. But again, like, and you even mentioned this, which I'm really, really proud of you. It means I've had an effect on you. You pointed out a little bit there that Spencer Martin's lateral movement and, you know, ability to integrate to the post isn't obviously as quick as Thatcher Demko, who's been coached for a while. And
yeah, let me say something here on this. When you see Thatcher Demko like attached to a post, it's so much better than like so many goaltenders. And I think you could really see that with Martin yesterday, because like he would take an extra half second to find the post, get himself in a position. And then even when he locked into the post, he still like had open spaces over his shoulder. It looked like it just, man, like I think that's something you take for granted with Demko, how good he is at just like getting himself stuck on a post and taking all the space away for a shooter in that position.
So Demko's really improved on his crease navigation. Mike has always had really good crease navigation. So Ian Clark implementing this post integration stuff to him has really made Mike really good at it. But when you ask Demko about it, like, I try to get technical quotes. Goldies don't usually like to talk about technical stuff in like scrums and stuff. And unfortunately, we're not allowed in locker rooms right now, so it's hard to get anything organic. But basically, like when Thatcher's asked about, how do you always know where the post is? He's like, the net's never moved since I've started playing hockey. And it's like, yeah, like that's a really good way of putting it. But, you know, obviously that's a very, very, very dumbed down version of how good he is at crease navigation and, you know, getting to that post and sealing it off immediately. And then not only that, but like moving right away, right? And moving out if he needs to. And, you know, one thing I noticed with Spencer Martin, and you'll notice this with Demko most of all, because Demko does it better than anybody, perhaps in the league, in my opinion, is when a shot comes, he's not panicked. He's sealing off and he swallows up the puck. Like, I'm talking about his hands are at his side and he takes it in the chest and he doesn't move his hands. He doesn't scramble at all. It doesn't bounce off him. He just stops it and absorbs the puck and it doesn't go anywhere. Spencer Martin had a save last night. I believe there was about 4 minutes left where Myers had a turnover in the defensive zone. There was chaos going on in the zone and it was really seeming like Florida was about to break it open and take a 2-1 lead late in the third and, you know, really squash the Spencer Martin storybook start that it was. And doing his best impression of Thatcher Demko, Martin sees the puck come up from behind the goal line, quickly pops into position and just swallows up a good shot from the slot. Like almost a one-timer, not actually a one-timer, but just swallows up the puck. And again, I didn't want to make the comparison to Thatcher Demko when I was writing the post game, because you know people would not understand it, but that's the kind of save that Thatcher Demko makes so often to stop this team from imploding, right? Yeah. Like pressure in their own end, can't get the puck out, can't do anything. The only way they're getting a whistle or getting out of this is if their goaltender makes a big save and controls the puck. And usually, folks, when you've got an inexperienced goaltender, you're worried about that rebound control. Spencer Martin's rebound control is pretty good for a guy who's only played in the AHL for the most of his career. But there were moments last night where you could see like, uh-oh, he should have had that. He should have corralled that. That's not good. Mm-hmm. There were a few moments like that. But again, that was one save in particular where I was like, wow, this is a goaltender who's completely bought into the system.
And I think to kind of transition away from Martin, I don't know, you'll probably talk about him more, but
I still have the clip from him.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. I just thought that the Canucks did a really good job at 5-on-5 of like limiting where the shots are coming from. You look at the heat map from yesterday's game at 5-on-5. Really not a lot of shots from in tight. It's been rare all season long to see the Vancouver Canucks have a better heat map than the other team they've played against. And the heat map is, for people who don't know, just kind of where most of the shots were coming from, and lots of them from outside. So a really good job by the Vancouver Canucks of getting in tight, covering up the close areas. And then those rebounds that you talked about from Spencer Martin, Canucks were pretty quick to get their sticks on and not allow rebound opportunities. The only one that really kind of hurt them was the one that Highmore shot blocked, I guess, knocked out of the air and then lands on the stick, goes in the back of the net, score the only goal that was scored on Spencer Martin in regulation play anyways, minus the shootout. But I thought that the Canucks team in general did a good job of protecting their goaltender in a situation where it was going to be a tough spot to put Spencer Martin, specifically against that team they're playing in Florida, who, yeah, I get it, they played the night before. But the night before, they put up 6 on the Oilers, you know, a team that a lot of people thought was going to be competitive for a playoff spot. Maybe they still do think that. But I was also, like, looking at the Canucks' top line, I didn't think that they had, like, an excellent game on, like, so I felt that the line, like, the Besser, Pettersson, Höglander line, I feel like they did an okay job of, like, keeping the puck out of their own zone. But at the same time, I felt their actual play once where they were in their own defensive zone wasn't great. And that was a line that I think you had to depend on a lot in the night, like last night, where you're missing not only the goaltenders, as we've talked about the whole episode here pretty much, but also JT Miller, Connor Garland, Bo Horvat. Like, you're missing a lot of these top players. Was really hoping that line was going to be able to step up. And I didn't really think that they did that well.
No, I don't think they did. That fourth line though, holy smokes, is Bruce Boudreau like that fourth line?
And I'll be on, and man, give him credit. I know he scored the goal off of his back, his jersey or whatever it was. But that line, Pearson, Dickinson, Chiasson, I thought they played pretty well.
They did. They did control some zone time. Yeah,
and they actually had scoring chances, I thought, at 5-on-5, and not great defensively. And like, you know, Chiasson still, like, every time he gets the puck in the boards, he just like rings it around the boards and it goes out and nobody's there. So it ends up flying back into their own zone.
How about pretty well last night.
Back to Spencer Martin though. How about Spencer Martin likes to play the puck, eh?
Holy smokes.
I don't think he does that in Abbotsford as much. I think he was a little nervous and was like, anytime there was like a should I go, should I not? He just went.
Okay.
Because he doesn't do that in Abbotsford.
Okay. So Spencer Martin not only was super vocal last night, I don't know if you could hear it on the broadcast. I heard they had issues on the broadcast. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty weird at the first 5 minutes or so.
Okay, anyways. Because
there was like no crowd noise or rink noise, and it was just like John ASMR. He was just like in your, that's all you could hear, with like a very faint rink noise in the background.
People would pay good money for that.
That's what I've seen a reply to my tweet saying that, yeah.
Okay, what I wanted to say though is, you know, when a goaltender's new to a system and he doesn't really know the system, which make no mistake about it, Spencer Martin doesn't, going out to play the puck isn't something most goaltenders do.
No.
But Martin was not only doing that, but he was also super vocal, communicating to his defensemen, communicating to his teammates in general, just super vocal. And look, like, it's a good thing. It's absolutely a good thing. It's almost a must. It's almost a must that a goaltender does that. But to see Spencer Martin doing that when you know he's not super comfortable and he's obviously nervous and has some jitters because, you know, he's playing his first game in the NHL.
Big spot, man.
And the other thing that people don't really realize, guys, is like this not only was a big ask from the organization to Spencer Martin, but he probably won't admit it. Well, maybe I think in the post game he said you always have some of those thoughts, but this very well could have been Spencer Martin's last kick at the can. Like what we're watching right now, because assuming Spencer Martin's going to start Sunday against St. Louis, what we're watching right now is perhaps Spencer Martin's last shot at the NHL. And Spencer Martin did say post game, he said he feels super blessed to even get a start in the NHL because it's extremely hard to get to that point. And he's right. It is not easy to get starts at the NHL level. Also, the NHL record has been broken for most goaltenders used in a season. Hmm. I don't know if Martin was the one that broke it. It was close, like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, because the Canucks were one of the only
teams to only use two. Yeah,
to only have two goalies. I'll tell you what. Just like as a person, Spencer Martin is like a great person.
I really like Spencer
Everybody
Martin.
Everybody really likes to deal with Spencer Martin. Comes from a good family as well,
yeah,
from what I hear.
We've got the clip. We're going to play the clip of my question to Spencer Martin post-game last night just about learning from Curtis Sanford and Ian Clark, and I'll have a full story on it on Canucks Army sometime soon.
We have one more hand raised right now. That's David Quadrelli, Nation Network.
Spencer, you look like a goaltender who's bought into what Curtis Sanford and Ian Clark are selling. When you came here, did you kind of know what they kind of expected of their goaltenders, and how easy or difficult was it for you to kind of integrate those changes into your game?
I knew that they, you know, they had a really good track record with goalies in the past. So I knew that I wanted to buy in. It took some time to fully commit to technically. And just I feel extremely bought in now. And I feel like we're just going to keep building on it, though.
So, yeah, that was Spencer Martin answering my question about working with Ian Clark and Curtis Sanford. And like I said, I'm going to talk to Curtis Sanford, maybe Ian. I don't know. Ian's a busy guy. I don't know if I'll be able to talk to him. I think, you know, I know a lot of people, even my brother texted me during the game when he was watching and he said like, oh, Ian Clark's a wizard. And I was like, no, like it's all Curtis Sanford.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying Ian Clark has nothing to do with this, but give some credit to Curtis Sanford because he's the guy actually implementing these changes. It's great to show people a picture book and say, hey, this is what you have to change in your game. But if you throw too much information at a goalie, especially one who's 26, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to actually make those changes. It's a lot more complicated than people think. You don't just instantly get that buy-in. You have to earn that respect from your goaltenders. And Curtis Sanford's done an exceptional job of it, so he deserves a ton of credit for the changes we've seen from Spencer Martin so far this season.
Yeah, and everything you hear from the goaltenders out there, they love not only like the way, and that's the interesting thing that's different, I think, I've talked to Mikey DiPietro about this a lot. I ask him pretty much every time about Ian Clark and Sanford that have a media availability with him. And one thing that he always brings up about Sanford that's different from Clark is that like he likes talking to Sanford about off ice things as well, because Sanford's a guy who's gone through it as an NHL goaltender, right? So like it's not only just the goaltending is being thrown down by Sanford, but I think the good part about having a guy like Curtis Sanford as your AHL goaltending coach is he's really going to be able to help with obviously the technical and mechanics and everything you need to do to be a good goaltender, because he's learning that from Ian Clark, but he's learned himself how to be a professional goalie. And I think that is something that's really good for Archer Seelovs and Mikey DiPietro, and I guess to a certain degree Spencer Martin as well, though I think Spencer Martin's learning more about the mechanics of what Ian Clark wants a goaltender to do. I think that he already kind of knows what it's like to be a pro, but Sanford's a really valuable piece out there now. It's right. I think Abbotsford, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the coaching staff not being great out there and them making a lot of mistakes in the AHL level. I think that there's two pieces of development out there in Abbotsford that are really good. The first one is Mackenzie Braid, the skating coach. I think he is like a up and coming, one of the top skating coaches, as he's learning from a great family of skating coaches, obviously. And then as well, Curtis Sanford. I think those are two spots where their development in the AHL is actually doing well. I think that, you know, how the rest of it's happening out in the AHL, there's definitely some criticism that needs to be handed out towards how the coaching and basically just deployment of certain players has been. But I think there are some things out there in Abbotsford that should be praised, and two of them are the goaltending coach and the skating coach out there.
I need to ask you, If Spencer Martin turns in another good game on Sunday, Thatcher Demko exits protocol on Tuesday. Do you start Demko? He's exiting protocol, so he will have a morning skate, but he hasn't skated for 5 days, and then you're going to put him in a start.
I don't know, man. This is Ian Clark. You know, I feel like Bruce Boudreaux here with the way that we asked him this question is like, I don't know. I'd ask Ian Clark. Ian Clark's going to know better than anyone.
That's fair. I guess the follow-up to that, obviously, is if Spencer Martin turns in another good game on Sunday, and maybe even Tuesday,
oh my goodness,
can you flip him for a third or a fourth round pick to the Edmonton Oilers?
Man, I don't know.
They've got nothing.
The other thing is like Stuart Skinner, the goaltender, who is like, he's getting a run with the Oilers right now.
Yeah, he's not doing too well.
So he was like excellent in the AHL when that Canucks team was horrible and Bakersfield was in town a couple weeks ago. Skinner started like 3 games in 4 nights and he was like excellent. So I don't know. I think it's a little different.
You're telling me the Oilers are rushing a prospect because they constructed their NHL roster poorly? Is that what you're telling me?
Sure.
Because that's not a new story, Chris. And hopefully they've learned from their mistakes and go out and get Spencer Martin for a second round pick.
Yeah, maybe he'll go to the... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm joking, folks. It's not a second.
Talk to...
maybe a third or fourth.
Talk to old friend of ours, friend of the show, Jonah Gadjevich last night, too. Who's brother-in-law, Spencer Martin. And he was... I just asked him if he was watching the game. He said, yeah, we're watching it. He was loving it. He was cheering for the Canucks last night. He was saying it was awesome to watch Spencer Martin. Saw Spencer Martin's sister was retweeting pretty much everything I tweeted about Spencer Martin last night. It was good to hear from Jonah Gadjevich. I think just one of the best people to deal with, Jonah Gadjevich. And somebody was replying in the replies on my tweets saying maybe text him to come back when he's a free agent next year. So yeah, we'll see.
Jeez. All right, we'll go to break.
Exciting things.
So, keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now we want to give a quick shout out to the Unparalleled Pack featuring 4 of the P49 favorites, the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the 4 there, the Jerkface 9000, the pink can. Something good about those cans there at Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Folks, if you'd like to advertise with us, shoot us a DM. Canucks Convo account. My account, if you're not blocked. Chris Faber 39 as well, because Chris doesn't block anybody except for Skip Bayless.
Yeah, which I'm thinking about unblock because I don't see as much Skip Bayless anymore. But he is the only guy I have
blocked. That's because you haven't blocked.
That's a good point, yeah. So maybe I'll keep it.
Before prospects, sorry. Okay, go ahead. I just want to wrap up this conversation. I know you weren't at the game. I was.
I'm just expecting it. Nearly Neil was way better than he was on the broadcast.
No. Well, that's true.
Yeah, okay.
But not what I was going to say. What I was going to say was hearing a Bruce There It Is chant for the first time in over a month. I wrote in the post game. It was enough to make a grown man cry. Damn. It was almost enough to even make me cry. Like, it was a bit emotional hearing the Bruce There It Is chant. And not only that, but and it sounded like a Bronx cheer, but obviously it wasn't. And you know what a Bronx cheer is, right? It's when the sarcastic cheer when a goalie like makes a save after being scored on early on, been lit up. And obviously it comes from baseball, but it sounded like a Bronx cheer because Spencer Martin made like a very easy kick save to start the game and the fans just erupted. Like so loud.
People wanted Spencer Martin to succeed bad. Exactly. Everybody. And it was the first game back. Like
exactly.
It had all the pieces of a recipe for it to be like a
storybook ending.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so close. It still was. It still was pretty good.
Barkov over here with the one-handed cheeky little flip goal for the win.
Such a good goal, too.
Oh, it was beautiful.
And Spencer Martin even said post-game, he's like, yeah, like, he almost said, they don't do that in the AHL.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape on that one because that was a different goal for sure. And, the one-handed tuck attempt at the start, they're totally thinking in their heads, like, okay, this guy's going to be sliding all over the place, what has this guy seen in the AHL compared to what we've got?
Even early on, there was a Barkov play where he just like goes through his leg, gets like a really hard shot off.
Yeah.
Like through his legs, a hard shot. Spencer Martin's like, whoa, they don't do that in the AHL at all. There's probably a lot of things that he saw. But I mean, the other thing though, too, that you could say to that point is, like I said earlier, the Canucks played really good defense in front of them. They really covered up the net.
Yes.
You don't see that in the AHL at all either.
No.
So he benefited from that too.
Especially with the Abbotsford Canucks.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And also, the last thing I wanted to say, that overtime sequence with Juho Lamico being stuck out for 3 minutes and 14 seconds. Are you kidding me? Like, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I could not believe it. Like, they're changing lines. It's Spencer Martin's head. What are you thinking? Because it's just, oh my gosh, they're changing lines. Like, no big deal. Aaron Ekblad, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Alex Barkov are all in the ice at the same time. And I have Juho Lamico and Matthew Eymoor in front of me, and they've been out for 3 minutes and can't do anything when a puck gets loose because they're too tired. Also, the last thing.
You got OEL out there on the overtime looking like he's at the end of his 40 drill from training camp.
Oh my gosh. These poor guys, like, I was going to ask Boudreaux postgame, but I wasn't sure what kind of mood he'd be in because it was an overtime loss. But I was going to be like, Bruce, can you confirm that those three guys are still alive? Like, are they walking?
Jeez, yeah.
But the last thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Martin was literally taking breaks while Florida was cycling the puck at the top of the zone. I don't know if you can see it on the broadcast or if anybody noticed this, but you know how we were just talking about, oh yeah, the three-stance system, you're still activated, but you're upright and you're shuffling your feet. Martin was just like chilling. He was just standing upright, hands dropped at his side because he was trying to get some rest in while they were cycling the puck.
Yeah, because they were cycling the puck in overtime, but they weren't doing anything.
Exactly. Like, they were waiting.
Everyone's like, oh, there must be like Lamico and OEL must be so tired. And was it Highmore was the other one out there?
You're still tired if you're doing that, dude. Like, yeah, you're like, still very tired.
For sure, but it's not like they were, like, really even, like, getting close to a shot.
No, but when you're... They're still moving and putting their sticks in position,
no, I get
right?
it. I'm not saying they were fresh.
Yeah, like, dude, that's tiring. Like, if you go public skate, like, if you go do a toonie skate...
But it wasn't dangerous is what I'm saying. They weren't, like, setting up dangerous plays. They were just, like, trying to, build them up for 2 minutes to then get a scoring chance.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but... You know, credit to those three guys that we just mentioned. Their defending was good. Like, their end zone defending was solid. And again, like, Boudreaux got criticized for putting those guys even out in overtime. Got them to shoot out. Like, this was basically how it was going to be. You were either going to score when Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and Brock Besser were on the ice, or you were going to not get scored on when anybody else was on the ice. So who do you want out there?
Pod Colson and Höglander.
No, you don't.
That's who I want.
You don't want those guys out there. If they're not going to score, they're going to get scored on. And I even said to Kevin Woodley.
Oh, gosh.
I said, like, holy smokes, they better not give up a 2-on-1. Because if there's any weakness in Martin's game, it's lateral quickness. It's lateral movement. So if you give up a 2-on-1 to Huberdeau and Alex Barkov, you're asking for trouble. So it was a good thing they didn't give up a 2-on-1 because... Yeah, that would have not been pretty, and I didn't want it to end that way. I did not want that game to end with Martin getting a goal scored on him in overtime.
Yeah, and you know what? I think this was kind of the feel. Literally every single person had like the same thought about last night's game was that you get 1 point out of it. That was a good showing for the Canucks. Everybody had the exact same tweet, just worded differently last night on Twitter. Just saying they were happy with the 1 point, and I think that is the takeaway. We'll see what happens on Sunday. You and I will be there with the pregame show. On Sportsnet 650, check us out. What are we on? What game's at 7, right?
Yeah.
So we'll be on 3 to 6.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, come check us out there. Gonna have some Blues. I gotta chat to my Blues guy. I was let's get into it last night a little bit as we get to the prospects here.
Yeah, go for it.
Chatting with my regular guy, who I used to chat with about Nils Höglander, and was chatting with him yesterday about Casper. A couple of guys, and been doing a lot of research into some doing some scouting. Gonna have a new little what do you call it, a series?
Yeah, series.
It's going to be a long series where it's just going to be like information dumps about players that are coming up in the draft. Really, it's just been like a whole bunch of different groups of players that I've been looking at in the past and now trying to do a lot more video work. So we'll have a bunch. I'm excited to write these. These are the articles that I love writing. Like, I love just sitting down and watching video. It was funny. I was joking the other day. I was like, I drank like a liter of coffee. And then I did that to go like lay down in bed and watch like prospects on my phone. looking back now that we have a good connection for watching prospects. So I did that, did a lot of games over the past couple days here, which has been fun. I love that stuff. So some fun stuff coming out of Canucks Army. But for prospect news, how about Dmitry Zhodiev? Going back down to the junior in the MHL, last 2 days, he's played 2 games, and I think he's recovering from COVID as well. Mm. His last 2 games, he's got 6 points. He's got 2 goals and 4 assists in his last 2 days of playing hockey, which is incredible. Good little run for Z. And final thing, this isn't really prospect related. I'm heading out to Abbotsford tonight for the game as just a fan. Taking the girlfriend out to Abbotsford. We're going to go enjoy the game. 7 o'clock puck drop.
Hell yeah.
Get to see Archer Seelove's likely in net. I'm excited. I'm going to go watch. Got really good seats out there in the Abbotsford Center. Second row. Going to enjoy the game just out there. Maybe have a couple beers. Get the girlfriend to drive home. Maybe have more than a couple then, actually, now I think about it. Get her to drive. So I'm going to enjoy the game. I haven't gone to a hockey game and had beers in a long time, so I'm excited for tonight's Abbotsford game.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Relaxing, just enjoy the game, not writing, not doing clips, not doing anything. Just going to go watch a hockey game. Probably have one of those hot dogs out there.
Oh, yeah. Get to watch an Archer Seelove start.
Yep, Seelove start, that's for sure, and see how the guys do.
Excellent. All right, we'll close it out there. Anything else?
Nope, not much. Like I said, that I think it's gonna be fun, this series. I'm gonna start at Canucks Army. Got the first two, well, first one is done, second one's almost done, so
yeah,
I'm gonna get rolling on these. You know I love writing these prospect articles, so
we're
it'll be fun to see.
We're flying out to Nation HQ.
Yeah, we're fight with the Oily Boys is actually happening.
Yeah, the fight with the Oily Boys.
Ready to go.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We might even have to do a podcast in their studio. They got a really nice studio.
Sure.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Going to Edmonton.
First week of February.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
I hope it gets a little warm. You know, the other day I looked, because after you told me we were going to Edmonton on a trip, I looked, and there was a low of 18 and a high of 12.
No.
It's a 30-degree difference from low to high.
Gosh, what the hell? I didn't look at that before I agreed to go to this place.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So it's not, I don't know, Edmonton's Edmonton. I've never been into the city of Edmonton. I've been to the airport. Where mm-hmm. I saw the, they got a Wayne Gretzky's whiskey.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what he's got over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that. But
yeah, Downtown Jay's going to pick us up.
Take us downtown. We're going to
yeah,
do it up fun. At the Nation Network area. See, I'm going to meet some Oily Boys in person.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yep.
You'll meet the crew.
It's true.
You meet Bagged Milk.
Yeah.
You guys can talk milk. Arby's.
We better go to Arby's. I hope there's a lot of Arby's in Edmonton.
I think there is. I think that'll be the first time I try Arby's. We'll go with Bagged.
Mr. Bagged. We'll take you. We'll do the full menu thing. We'll figure it out.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
All right, good stuff. I'm
Patreon
done.
Vlog. I think this calls for a Patreon vlog.
Sure, we'll do a vlog.
I'm doing a vlog from the airport.
All right.
Oh man, that's gonna be fun. All right, for my co-host Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi,
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.